This is the FYI show on Radio 786 100.4 FM. We're in the nuclear segment of the FYI show, and we are featuring why are we responding as we do to the lockdown of the coronavirus. Now, to unpack this, we have psychologist Lauren Martin to explain this to us, and we also speak about anxiety and panic buying. Is this a natural response? Now, we heard last night, you know, when the president announced that there's going to be a 21-day lockdown starting on Thursday midnight. And I know, as I stated, you know, when I came to work, there were loads of cars on the road, lots of traffic. And I can just think, well, I'm assuming that everybody's trying to get everything in order, trying to stock up, trying to buy the necessities for the lockdown that's going to be happening. And there's lots of panic that is going around, and lots of people, you know, become anxious when... and is it anxious because of the unknown? But we'll unpack that and a little bit more as well. And like I said, this is the nuclear segment. And we ask you, dear listeners, to share your thoughts, to give us your input. If there's any questions that you might have for my guest, that is Lauren Martin, counseling psychologist at South African College Applied Psychology and the head of teaching and learning, then by all means, you can use the platform, which is the WhatsApp number 0786 10 11 12. I'll repeat 0786 10 11 12. A hearty welcome and good afternoon to you, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for giving off your time to chat to us. Now, like I said, there's lots of panic, there's lots of anxiety that people are experiencing, especially after the announcement of lockdown that's going to be taking place Thursday midnight. Now, when we speak about anxiety, when we speak about panic, I think maybe we should get an understanding. What are we talking about? What is anxiety?
So I guess in the simplest terms, anxiety is a very natural, normal emotion that we all experience. And anxiety is usually an emotional response to often an unknown situation, and where we believe that an unfortunate outcome may take place. And so if we think about the current circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic, and with its far-reaching implications that continue to unfold globally and in our community, anxiety is one of the many natural emotional responses people are currently experiencing.
So with the COVID-19 outbreak, maybe you can put the anxiety that is being experienced. Let's look at children. Let's also look at teenagers, adults, and I also want to unpack the anxiety with the elderly. So if we can maybe you know, unpack that step by step, where children are concerned, teenagers especially, adults, and then of course the elderly.
Absolutely. So I guess there are many situations and various events that people would experience anxiety, and that would obviously have perhaps different events or situations for children, for adults, for the elderly, for teenagers. But I guess what is common amongst all of those situations is that usually situations of uncertainty breeds discomfort, and that usually elicits feelings of anxiety. And that would be sort of for all age groups. So situations of uncertainty. And perhaps I could just give an example. I guess everyone would have had significant changes to parts of their normal routine disrupted with the president's new restrictions. So whether that's with work or school or social distancing or travel, and with the added complexities of not knowing about how long these disruptions will take or the impact that these restrictions will have, leaves individuals unable to plan and be proactive in trying to bring a state of homeostasis back. And so because there's a lot of uncertainty in our new way of life, we are navigating very unfamiliar territory. And that's quite normal to have anxious feelings during this time.
Right. Now, you know, children are more resilient. They bounce back very quickly. So in this period, this lockdown period, how would it affect the children and compared to the elderly? You know, the elderly are more set in their ways, and it's very difficult for them to divert, or it's very difficult for them to make changes. So if you can maybe just speak about that.
Sure. I guess maybe in both cases, both with the children and the elderly, I guess we have a responsibility to step up as society and come to their aid and be there so that we can combat the fears and anxiety that maybe they do sit with, along with the rest of society. And I guess maybe speaking with children about COVID-19, and I guess to some extent also with the elderly, the most important thing for them to know and to understand is that their concerns are being heard. So whether you're a caregiver or an elderly child looking after your parents, or whether you have children yourself, take the time to ensure that concerns or anxieties or fears are being heard, and that give children and the elderly reassurance that you are doing everything possible to keep them safe and healthy. Mm. And there are very practical things that we could do in order to help. But I think the bottom line is that the elderly and children need to feel heard, and they also need to have reassurance that the people around them are doing what they can to keep them safe and healthy.
And I'm loving what I'm hearing when you say they want to know that they are being heard. And that is so important, that whatever emotions they are feeling or whatever they are experiencing, that it is real and that it is okay to go through the emotions. Am I correct in saying that, Lauren?
Absolutely. And I think it's also important as a society that we don't label what people should be feeling at this stage, or how they should be coping at this stage. I think everyone is unique and different, and we need to respect that. And where possible, we need to be coming aside those that are vulnerable, those that are at risk, and allowing them to express what they feel. And I guess in a lot of ways, people aren't always available, for example, for the elderly to always be there to listen and to hear. But we do have fantastic resources available in our communities, 24/7 free online resources where the elderly, for example, could be in contact, where they could feel heard during this time.
Okay. And now mentioning this, if you can name some of the platforms that they can, you know, be heard, where can they reach out to?
Absolutely. So places like Lifeline or SADAC, for example, are wonderful community-based organizations that work tirelessly in order to provide support to the community. And I would guess that during a time like this, they become invaluable resources to South Africa.
Absolutely. Now, I want to read out a WhatsApp that have come through, if I may, Lauren, and then we can just comment on that as well. Now, a listener, Auntie Gigi, a regular listener, she sends in this. She says, "Hello, Jamila. The Kekkle Cry queue is so long." Okay, this is one of the stores. "Is so long. What's wrong with the people? They do this for 21 days lockdown. I hear ons mense." And so says Auntie Gigi. Now, with that WhatsApp that have come through, I want to speak about what has been happening. People are going to the stores in a frenzy, panic buying. Now, with that comment, I want to ask you this. You know, is this also a response to feeling anxious, this panic buying?
So I think Certainly. I think regardless of what we label panic buying, it could be, we could label it anything, but to a large degree, people have gone out to buy what is needed in fear of a national lockdown. Mm. And here we find ourselves in this very scenario. So this was obviously prior to the president's address last night, but stores were very busy because people feared the unknown. They were anxious about what would happen if we had a national lockdown. And now we obviously are going into that. And so to some degree, individuals are anxious and therefore are buying and stocking up. But for others, they are being proactive and I guess controlling what they can given the unfamiliar circumstances we all find ourselves in. Mm. And, you know, the president's address last night, only then did we really find out or get more clarity in terms of the provision of food and essentials being regulated, provision of sufficient stock, prices being regulated. Until then, people were left in the unknown, which then breeds discomfort and anxiety. So I would assume that with clearer directions, people would have more clarity about the way forward and what's required. But just as the SMS states, the shops are currently very busy. Mm. And I guess not many people would have gone through a national lockdown before, and so we still find ourselves in very unfamiliar territory at the moment. Mm.
Now, just before the announcement and you know, putting us at ease that there's going to be a continuous supply of food in the stores, etc. This, like I said, on my way to work, there were more traffic on the road than normally. So I'm thinking the anxiety has actually increased in terms of I need to get my supplies, I need to sort myself out, I need to take care of my family before Thursday's lockdown midnight.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe I could just add a couple of comments on the complex anxiety that South Africans may be going through currently.
Please.
Is that we are faced as a nation with the COVID-19 pandemic, which has left many of us in a very uncertain, unfamiliar territory, which breeds anxiety. But what further exacerbates feelings of anxiety and adds further complexities to the feelings of anxiety is that everyone has very different support structures, resources, backgrounds, vulnerabilities, and commitments. And so the list goes on. Mm. And so South Africans are being faced with complex anxiety, and we're facing the uncertainties of the COVID-19 pandemic and, you know, anxieties around job uncertainty or a higher risk of infection due to maybe age or medical history, or, you know, the anxiety of a lack of family support or structure, especially with now children being at home. Or perhaps there are South Africans that sit with owning a business and are uncertain about whether their business will survive during this time. And so how much more challenging and anxiety-provoking is it to navigate the uncertainty of COVID-19 along with all these other factors that South Africans are facing at the moment?
Mm. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned that children pick up on adults' fears and anxieties, right? Mm. So what are some of the examples of this? What does that mean when you say they pick up on the fears and anxiety of adults?
So I guess there are various examples here. Mm. Our children let me give you an example, sorry. So parents are very stressed. Let's say we are now living at home. It's unfamiliar circumstances that we find ourselves in. Parents are stressed and perhaps they are arguing loudly at home. And because children can't always verbalize how this makes them feel, or they can't always cognitively understand why certain circumstances are happening or why their parents, for example, are arguing, they experience discomfort like anxiety, and this is often displayed in very different ways. So while adults may be stressed, and the way that we display our stress is through maybe arguing or being on edge, children will internalize the stress or the anxiety at home, and they will also act out. And so it's often difficult for parents to recognize when children are stressed or when they have anxiety, but often sort of short-term behavioral changes is quite a good indicator. So when children are having mood swings or acting out, or there's changes in sleep patterns or bedwetting, for example, or even physical effects, you know, often children will complain about a sore stomach or a headache, or there's a lack of concentration, for example. These may all be indications that children are picking up on kind of the tensions or anxieties that they're feeling in the household. And so I guess for parents or those that look after children during this time, it's really important that we are modeling appropriate behaviors for children during this time. You know, how do we cope with stress? Open lines of communication, helping healthy coping mechanisms. There's a lot that we can do in order to support our children during this time.
Yeah. So how do we allay their fears?
Repeat that, please.
How do we settle them and you know, acknowledge their fears and calm them to a certain extent?
Absolutely. I think there are many techniques that one can use, but again, the most basic would be that children need to feel heard, and this is from all ages, You know, we're not looking at just teenagers here. Children, even if your child is 5 years old, they need to feel as if they're being heard, and that adults in their lives are doing what they can to keep them safe. And I guess practically, you know, parents could be reassuring their children, for example, or they could be opening lines of communication about COVID-19. So if children have picked up on something, whether that's been at school or maybe they've heard something on the news, for example, in passing, and they ask a question, parents should be available and willing to discuss and answer in quite an open and honest way about what's happening. And I guess just keeping routine as well as keep the talking. It's really important during this time that children are able to speak about what's going on and verbalize how they're feeling at this stage.
Absolutely. Now, you know, children are used to routine, and now we know the elderly are more prone to this disease, or not to this virus. So how do one as a parent or guardian explain to a, for example, a 5 year old, you know, but we cannot visit our grandma or grandpa now, or for the next 3 weeks or month? How do we make them understand? Because, you know, but this is my routine. I must go and see Pa and Ma. How do you, you know, explain all of this to a so for example, a 5 year old?
There certainly isn't a perfect way of doing this, and every child is different. And so I would say that parents would need to be developmentally appropriate in terms of how they explain what is happening. And I would also advise that parents don't overshare at this stage, because it can be extremely overwhelming for children. And that parents should take their cue from children. So inviting children to maybe talk about what they've heard and how they feel, and that's how you guide the conversation about COVID-19. In terms of creating, or maybe your your regular routine being disrupted because of COVID-19, it's important that parents are creating a new routine, not only for their children, but also for themselves. And part of creating a new routine would be educating children about what is happening in society at the moment. And if this means that actually at this stage, or maybe for the next 3 weeks, the new routine would not involve physically visiting grandparents or the elderly, it doesn't mean that there needs to be a social disconnection. And so I would certainly say during this time, children should have access to their elderly or to their grandparents via phone calls or Skype or other virtual technologies at this stage. And that would also probably be very important for the elderly so that they do not feel lonely at this stage. So parents have a wonderful opportunity of creating a new routine with children and perhaps with the elderly or their parents, in ensuring that they aren't lonely and that there is still social connection during this time.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Just a WhatsApp that I want to read out, and if you can maybe comment or answer it for the dear listener. It says, if it's possible, can you please explain the difference between scared and calm? I know we are all scared, but we must be sensible about it and stay calm, because if we put the two together, we will get chaos, says the listener. And also a comment that has come through, it says, I do agree with every word that the lady has just said.
Wonderful. Thank you. Perhaps in response to the scared and calm,
please.
I think it's human nature for us as individuals to want to try and control, minimize, get rid of discomfort. Our natural reaction is to create homeostasis and be in a place where we don't have emotions that make us feel uncomfortable. But I also want to say, while we are scared, or while there is stress and while there is anxiety, it doesn't mean that people cannot continue with their daily lives. And so there can be a sense of calm with scared, or there can be a balance between the two. It's not an either or situation here. And I think it's really important that society knows this, because there isn't any guarantees in terms of when things will be different. We have a lockdown for 21 days, but in terms of where the COVID-19 pandemic will be in South Africa and what further steps will be required is unknown. And so for the next while, society sits in the unknown and in the unfamiliar, and we will breathe sort of these uncomfortable feelings. But we don't need to remain in that the entire time. We can acknowledge that we feel a certain way, and we can also put steps in place that will ensure that we remain purposeful and directful and focused on the things that we can control at the moment.
Absolutely purposeful. Now, how do we take this lockdown that's going to be happening? How do we, get our mind in a positive way and make it work for us as a family in our homes?
I mean, absolutely. I guess I think it is important that we do recognize as a family and in our homes the seriousness of the public health challenge that the community is facing at present. But it's also important that we're mindful as a family that reacting from a place of panic or fear is usually unhelpful, especially in the long term, and that looking after our well-being in times like this can help reduce stress. And it's crucial in enabling us to still take calm and effective action, you know, in the midst of the global crisis. And so when many things feel uncertain and out of control, one of the most effective ways we can manage sort of this anxiety is to focus on the actions that are in our control. And I can give maybe a couple of examples here.
Sure.
So, I mean, for example, one thing that we are certainly in control of and where we can direct our attention is our actions. And so I want to say that first and foremost, we should be abiding by the government's directives given. We're in control of that. We can come in support of our government and our fellow South Africans to actually make a real difference here. You know, society needs something to get behind. Society needs structure so that we know what we should be doing. And the government, the World Health Organization have provided us with those guidelines, and we should be following that. That's something that we can be doing as a family. Another thing is that we could be assisting the community during this time.
Yeah.
I guess Ubuntu must become our way of life. You know, let's help those who cannot help themselves at this moment. Every small deed of kindness will go a long way in mobilizing the community around us to make small changes and contributions to those in need. And this also goes for local businesses who are worried about not being able to make it through this time. And it can be simple things. It could be sharing a company's page or donating to online, donating to a community organization or giving a review for a restaurant. Mm-hmm. These are all really simple things that we could be doing that could actually help mobilize the community around us.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken about new routines.
Yes.
And so I do think it's important just to note that not only for children, but for family members, for the parents in the household, that work or our daily routine usually gives us a sense of purpose and meaning. And that has now been disrupted. And there are significant changes that households are facing at present. And so families need to be very purposeful in setting up new routines that give people a sense of purpose every day. And this is definitely in our control. Mm-hmm. I mean, so maybe just a last example could be prioritizing self-care.
Yes.
So I know that, or at least the clients that I see, is that when you least feel like doing it is often when we should. And so when we are overwhelmed and anxious and there is so many other things that are competing for our attention, we should be deliberately building in self-care routines in our daily practices. And these could just be things like eating healthier or a sleep routine or exercises. I mean, I'm not saying you need to go out. Go and do yoga in the bed on the bedroom floor, for example. We can certainly make a way if we prioritize it, and it's really important. And those with children, build in self-care routines where the children can be involved, so that there aren't many competing priorities at this stage. So there's a lot we can do, and there's a lot that we are in control of at the moment.
Fantastic. Just on the just finally, we need to end our chat, unfortunately. On the WhatsApp that have come through, you know, asking the explanation between scared and calm, which you have so beautifully explained. The listener says, thank you. My daughter now finally understands. She puts it in better words than me. Shukran so much, says the listener. So thank you so much for that. A listener also says it's a perfect time to get creative, read more, practice new hobbies. These things that you never had time for. That's also good advice, and to, you know, get those creative juices going. So with that, Lauren, we're going to have to say goodbye. And thank you so much once again for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lauren Martin, counseling psychologist at South African College Applied Psychology, also head of teaching and learning, chatting to us about the lockdown of the coronavirus, how people are responding, and then also, you know, what anxiety and panic buying is all about, and, you know, explaining to us all of it, and also, you know, keeping a positive mind. Now, when we come back,